Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for downloading this Horticulture Week podcast. For more podcasts, the latest breaking news and industry-leading analysis, please visit horticultureweek.co.uk. Welcome to the Horticulture Week inaugural podcast, where we'll be discussing the most pressing issues and latest news in the world of professional horticulture. There is no shortage of topics to discuss as we come to the end of the 10th week of lockdown in the UK, which has had extreme and diverse impacts on the various horticultural trades. My name is Christina Taylor. I'm Horticulture Week's digital contact manager, and with me remotely is editor Matthew Appleby, who has, I think it's fair to say, been working furiously over an overheated laptop over the last few weeks to unearth the important stories of the day. So, Matt, how are you?
Yeah, working furiously. Good description.
Coming through loud and clear, that's good. Obviously, one of the most important stories of recent weeks has been the abrupt closing and opening of the garden centres and how this has affected ornamentals growers and other suppliers in turn. So what's the latest on this?
Well, garden centres reopened in England on May the 13th, slightly different times in Scotland, Ireland and Wales. We predicted that a few weeks before, but since then it's seen huge spikes in sales, particularly in plants, compost, and now in barbecues. And in plants, it's meant that bedding has run out at a lot of garden centres and a lot of growers. It's very hard to predict demand, and because of the lockdown, there wasn't scope to plant new plants because people were thinking they were going to lose a load of money on them. And this has actually led to more Dutch supply, and this has been quite highly featured in the media, in newspapers and on the radio. And this has kind of done the opposite to what people were hoping post-Brexit, which was obviously to combat imports, to have some more grown in the UK. But it's gone the opposite way for this season. And that's not really been ideal for anybody in the industry.
So is the fear that there's going to be a dependence on Dutch supplies to make up the shortfall this season, that will then persist after Brexit? I mean, obviously, we're coming up to the deadline at the end of the year, and this may sort of set a pattern for the future.
Well, it could have an impact next year if some of the growers don't survive into next year because they've lost a lot of money this year. You know, people look to Holland when there's shortfalls, because in the Holland auction system, there's always product available if you're prepared to pay for it. Whereas in the UK, people are loyally supplying the retailers that they said they would supply at the prices they said they would supply them. So they're not actually making any more money. So, it's a real struggle for seasonal growers this year. And now we're moving into compost shortages, because it's been a perfect storm in many ways. It's great. It's been sunny. Everyone's stuck at home. People are much more engaged in their gardens, and that could continue into next year. Many more people growing their own. But it does mean that there is some frustrations from consumers that the ranges and products aren't there that when they want them. And that's actually been shown in online sales, which had a massive spike during the lockdown. But now people have been waiting weeks and weeks for product from quite a few of the online sellers. And that's been featured in the newspapers and on the radio too in the last week, that service levels have not been out what consumers desire. And, you know, that's a worry for the future, because the garden retail industry is built on service.
And horticulture doesn't normally get much media coverage, but it's been on featured on Radio 4 this week in You and Yours.
Yeah, there's been two on You and Yours, one on the online sellers and one on Bedding. And there's been absolutely tons of coverage of the bedding growers' plight, the garden centres reopening, Heritage and Botanic Gardeners opening. It's been non-stop, actually, for weeks and weeks and weeks. And that has been great for the industry, that people actually really have shown that they're caring about it.
So the important thing is, I guess, are the ornamentals growers going to be able to survive this storm they've been living through? I mean, I guess they usually are having to deal with various challenges thrown up by pests and diseases and weather and so on. But this is something else, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the last big issue was a few years ago when there was very poor spring weather. And it means that overgeared big growers who have borrowed a lot struggle. Smaller growers that own their own premises and are very conservative about what they grow and who they supply, not quite as much of an issue. So, you know, the call for growers to expand post-Brexit and grow more for the British market, you can see the risk there. And I can't see many people taking much of a risk for 2021.
And how's the government responding to the plight of the growers?
It's interesting. They're keeping their cards pretty close to their chest. There's a written question asked in Parliament this week. And DEFRA just are saying there are bailouts as in terms of grants available. But the big bailout scheme, which has helped out Dutch growers a couple of months ago, €600 million, it's no closer in the UK. The NFU and HGA are putting out another survey this week to growers to say what have they lost during lockdown. And that's yet again going back to DEFRA and to the Treasury saying, you know, growers need some cash to help them through.
I mean, is there anything that growers can do? Is there anything they can do to help the lobbying of the government?
Yeah, well, there's a questionnaire gone out from the HGA and they need to fill in the questionnaire. It's confidential, and say this is the situation that they're in. And when you put the case to the government, you need the figures to back it up. So if they give the figures via HGA and NFU to back up their case, then possibly there'll be the same kind of bailouts that the dairy industry and charity industry and other industries have already got. The other questions are around the gardens and landscape industry, which have also been receiving loads of TV coverage, particularly Chelsea Flower Show, which didn't take place, but it's still got hours and hours of TV coverage until the Dominic Cummins affair, when they cancelled, suspended the coverage of the final Chelsea TV programme for a week. And that drew some criticism in the press. But in the end, they showed the highlights for the Chelsea programme. But there are no other of those type of consumer events happening this year, online or otherwise, really. And the trade events aren't really happening as well. And there's quite a few question marks about the ones which are still kind of penciled in, like Glee. Yeah. And that's led to a whole new way about how the trade is going to interact with its suppliers in the future. So there were a lot of online meetings, video meetings, and not much face-to-face, which the industry has thrived on in the past.
Well, yes, I mean, and you know, we've often found this, that horticulturalists value that face-to-face, you know, whether it's selling machinery or making contacts. They want to do it, you know, in the flesh. So they're going to have to adapt, as we are, to the virtual world and do it all over Zoom, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've spoken to quite a few growers in the last few weeks, and they value the sort of, you know, as family businesses, they value their interaction and connections with their customers. Some of them don't have sales reps on the road. And even if they do have sales reps on the road, the way the sales reps will operate in the future could well be different. I mean, who wants to drive 2 hours for a half hour meeting and then drive back when you can just do it on video? And, you know, this could be a long-term change.
So maybe then the suppliers are going to get more adept at making demo videos of their products and doing it that way.
Exactly. I think that's definitely going to happen, that people are going to have to promote their products by a video rather than, you know, actually sort of touching and feeling them.
And any other issues of the week, like the Heritage and Botanic Gardens opening?
You mentioned
that was an issue.
Yeah, it came out of the blue a little while ago that the government announced it, and some people suggested that they should never have really been forced to close anyway. And the legislation that came in to close them down was in fact aimed at theme parks like Alton Towers rather than Heritage and Botanic Gardens, which can much more easily manage their numbers and social distancing. So they were shut for a long time. They've lost loads of money and they're still going to struggle financially because they can't open their cafes or their shops properly yet. But the RHS, National Trust, Q, many more have opened end of May, start of June. So at least they're back on the road. And that takes some of the pressure off parks, because parks are now, you're allowed to meet up in them in small groups. But that's been a bit of an issue for some park keepers because of the amount of rubbish being left there. Loads of barbecues happening there. And they're on reduced staff, so it's quite hard to manage that.
Well, I guess with all the cafes being shut, people are bringing their own food a lot more than they otherwise would, and it's causing a litter problem, isn't it?
Well, that's a real, it's a really interesting one, actually. I was talking to a barbecue manufacturer this week, and he said, you know, perfect storm for barbecues. Everyone's staying at home. You can't go to a restaurant. it's hot. You can only allow to meet people in your garden, so absolutely everybody's having a barbecue. And barbecues are selling out. Who'd have thought that when the lockdown started, when the garden centres said, we've just had a delivery of hundreds of barbecues and it's going to be impossible to sell them.
So some big ticket items are selling like hotcakes. I mean, I guess there's always winners and losers in these situations, aren't there?
Well, yeah. I mean, the industry has shown a lot of resilience and has come back strongly in the second half of May. And considering what it was like a month before that, most people are now saying they're going to survive. And, you know, that's testament to the way the industry adapts, because it's gone online, it's gone home delivery, it's gone and click and collect. And now they've opened, opened in a health and safety wise in a safe manner. And they've got the trust of their customers, the pent up demand, and, you know, things are looking brighter.
And there's also a hope in some quarters that the season may be extended, as you say, pent up demand, but also just people catching up and growing for longer and maybe choosing plants for later in the season.
No, definitely. Yeah. I mean, traditionally things drop off a cliff post the second bank holiday, post Chelsea Flowers Show. Yeah. You get into sort of Wimbledon tennis, which isn't happening this year. And gardening stops, it gets too hot. But this year everyone's saying we're going to get a garden in June, maybe even a garden in July, and then it'll start again in September because there'll still be that pent up demand. People still want to grow their own. And there's more people who are now interested in gardening than there were. So the whole season has completely changed and it made it impossible to predict supply and demand.
And also there's no one's going anywhere. I mean, I think people's holidays are going to be curtailed by the look of it, and a lot of people are going to be hanging around all summer. So I guess that will help sustain the gardening trend.
Yeah, definitely. Staycations are the only thing you can really do. You can't really get in or get out of the country, which is an issue around labour for picking crops, particularly in ornamentals. But in the retail market, it means that people will possibly, even though there's big worries about redundancies and unemployment, people won't be spending cash on foreign holidays. Foreign holiday prices are going to go up because flights will be more expensive. Hotels which can't fill will put their prices up, possibly. And people will stay at home and they'll stay in their gardens more, and people who want a social distance and will stay in their gardens more anyway. So, you know, gardens have massively risen up the agenda, and the potential of gardens now, everyone who's got a garden is using them, whereas in the past, maybe half the people who had a garden was using it. So it shows what the potential of UK gardening industry could be.
Just to pick up on something you said before, I mean, the issue of people being able to come in and out of the country, there's been a lot of questions about getting enough labour to pick the crops, and also the new quarantine rules coming in. How's that panning out at the moment?
Yeah, it's 8th of June. There's an exemption for pickers of edible crops, which is a great thing, but there isn't an exemption for ornamental workers. And I've spoken to some growers, and because they're having difficulties getting staff back off furlough, you know, some of them are working on a third of what their workforce would be, and they're flat out as well because the demand for plants is absolutely massive. So some of them are having to have a pause to try and sort out their nurseries so they can start delivering again or just catch up with deliveries. Yeah. And it's the same as what happened with online a month ago. You got an absolute surge of orders and then you can't meet them very easily.
Yes. So is there any movement on that? Is there any sense that the, you know, the HTA are having dialogue with the government to sort this out?
It's an NFU thing, really. And, okay. You know, I think possibly it's just something that got missed out when they were asking for this exemption, or the government decided that it wasn't important. So the NFU is constantly in dialogue with government and they were talking about it yesterday. I mean, it's not such a big issue for the ornamental industry to have seasonal overseas workers as it is for the fresh produce industry, which, you know, urgently needs products picked, such as, you know, now we're into the strawberry season, the cherry season, and then moving on, you know, into the autumn and the apple season. It's going to be difficult. In the autumn, there's been a big recruitment campaign to get British pickers in who have been furloughed or are students. But if people are going back to work and students are going back to college, the autumn might be a bit of an issue around workers as well. So, yeah, workers is a massive question mark, as are so many other things for later this year and next year.
But I suppose it also seems to be coming through now is that people will start coming off furlough and more people being made redundant. So possibly there may be a floating labour force, potential labour force available. Who knows?
Yeah, and it's one of those things where if people come back off furlough, if they go back to work, then obviously that's a good thing, but they're not going to be able to do these picking jobs. But if they get made redundant, then, yeah, those picking jobs are definitely there.
All right, so thanks for that, Matt. Great talking to you. Hope you're enjoying your barbecue in your own back garden there.
Yeah, definitely had more barbecues this year already than in the whole of last year. What about you?
I haven't had any, actually.
No, why not?
I overdid it on the halloumi last year, and I just haven't been able to recover since then. Well, this is the first of hopefully a whole series of podcasts that we'll be making to keep you abreast of the important news of the day. And hope you've enjoyed it, and tune in again for the next one.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.